Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
There's this brownstone on East Springfield Street in Boston's South End, three stories, unassuming, with a plaque out front that might be easy to miss. Lisa Gordon missed it when she first saw the building over FaceTime from the West Coast. But when she moved in, she read it, and it says in part,
Dr. Cornelius Garland was born in Alabama. After a postgraduate medical course at the University of London, he returned to the U.S. in 1903 and began practicing in Massachusetts. Soon after, he established the Plymouth Hospital and Nurses Training School at 12 East Springfield Street. Plymouth was the first and only Black hospital in Boston.
Now that's Lisa, right now here in Studio 2 reading. And Lisa, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you see this plaque in 2016, and it's particularly striking to you for two reasons, not only for how little the city is kind of making of an important thing like the only Black hospital in the city, but also it turns out you're the managing editor for the New England Journal of Medicine's publication Catalyst, so you're a medical writer in addition. What ran through your mind when you first see this plaque?
It was striking, you know, it resonated with me. I'm a writer, I'm a storyteller, you know, and I was living in this building. I'd walk by it and see the plaque every day. I'd walk up the stairs and be like, how is this a hospital? You know, wasn't this an important piece of history? And it just led me to become so curious. I had to start digging around. So I did.
All right. So, and we're going to do the digging. I want to kind of frame this out for listeners a little bit more. So when we say the only Black hospital in Boston, what we mean is a hospital with Black practitioners training and offering the treatment and training other Black practitioners.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And it was also a nurses training school.
Okay. And we are talking about a three-story standard brownstone. Like, your apartment is the living room where the main... Okay, let's backtrack. So you start digging around,
yep,
right? And you start getting some archival material and pictures, and you see a picture of the founder, Dr. Cornelius Garland, in his office in this brownstone on East Springfield, and you discover...
It was my apartment.
It was your living room,
it
right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So how is it even possible that we practiced medicine and trained people for medicine in a three-story building, right? I mean, just a brownstone.
Yeah. One really cool fact, which I didn't know and learned through my research, is that at the time, operating rooms were on the top floors of buildings like these because that was where the skylights were. They needed extra light. And if you think about it, you know, nurses couldn't really carry heavy patients up the stairs, up three flights of stairs or four. So an anecdotal thing I learned is that they would sometimes go out into the street and ask passerby to help them carry patients up to the operating room. I am assuming the waiting room, if there was a waiting room, was on the first floor. I know that Garland had an office. I think it moved around. First it was upstairs and then it was downstairs. But I was constantly wondering, did patients sleep overnight? You know, where did they sleep? Where were the bathrooms? You know, it was fascinating to me to envision all of that.
So as we start to unfold that, what I want to do, you wrote a piece in Cognoscenti about this. And in reading it, there's really two pieces of history that were unfolding at the same time. Mm-hmm. One is the hospital, which is remarkable. Mm-hmm. But the other is the man, mm-hmm, right? Dr. Cornelius Garland. And so I'm going to bring a second voice in here because you found, well, you tell us who Dan Reppert is.
Dan is Dr. Garland's great-grandson.
And Dan, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
So Dan Reppert is joining us, great-grandson of Dr. Cornelius Garland. And so, Dan, Lisa reaches out to you and says, I want to know more about this hospital. I want to know more about your great-grandfather. What was it like for you when you got that outreach? Which I think, Lisa, you reached out first on Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? What was that like for you, Dan?
Well, I was delighted to hear from someone that had an interest in this little hospital and its place in the history of the Black History Trail in Boston. I had been up there with my family in, I think, 2009, and we were just touring around the city, and I wanted my children to see the building itself because, you know, their great-great-granddad started a hospital there. I got to talk to someone from the neighborhood. She just happened to be on the street that day, and she was from the Neighborhood Association, and we were just chatting, And I left her my contact information in case anybody wanted to know more about the hospital. And that eventually led through other circumstances to hearing from Lisa. And I wasn't expecting really ever to, for someone to follow up, but I was really happy when she did contact me.
And Dan, tell us a little bit about your great-grandfather, Dr. Cornelius Garland.
I never knew him myself, but my mother loved him very much. And she used to tell stories about visiting with them and what he was like and how he loved my mother and my grandmother. So he came from Alabama, from very poor circumstances, and went to college at Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I think in that era, closer to Reconstruction, there was an ethic of trying to improve yourself, and through hard work, you could rise. And so the students at Livingstone actually built some of the buildings and made their own bricks. It was very much a kind of a Booker T. Washington environment. So that was the background he came from and was literally self-made. He went on to study at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then through his hard work and through sponsorship from interested persons, he was able to study in Europe and London. And he was able to do a gallbladder surgery. He wasn't the first, but that was a pretty remarkable thing in the turn of the 19th century.
For a black doctor to be able to do that surgery.
Yeah, for any doctor.
For any doctor.
You know, in 1908, that you'd have to look up who did the first gallbladder. I don't know, but it was...
Early on.
It wasn't something... It was progressive at that time.
So let's bring Lisa Gordon back into this conversation, Dan. You know, Lisa wrote the Cognoscenti piece about, the Plymouth Hospital and your great-grandfather, Dr. Cornelius Garland. A couple of things strike me. One, and first, Dan, I understand you lost your mom recently. Is that correct?
Yes, she passed away January 9th. And by strange coincidence, the article just came out, but credit to Lisa because she had spoken with my mom and got to know her a little bit over the phone. I think at least two conversations.
So talk about that, Lisa.
She was just lovely. I mean, Dan is lovely in the first place, but he was saying all along that he wanted me to talk to his mom. And so, of course, I did. I had a couple of conversations with her, I think most recently this past May. And she sent me an article she printed out. She sent me a very nice letter, and I sent her a letter back, Dan. I'm not sure if it got to her in time, but she was just wonderful. I mean, her memories seemed really fresh. It was poignant how much she cared for her grandparents, in particular for Dr. Garland. It was palpable, and I have some really touching, moments of hers that she was willing to share with me.
We're talking about this, bit of hidden Boston history. I mean, not entirely hidden. It's on a heritage trail, and there is a plaque. And yet, in a medical, mecca like Boston, that we don't just know this story, that we don't just know this name. I know we had to fight very hard for names like Melnia Cass to be known, but Dr. Cornelius Gordon, not well known. And I want to bring a little bit of him in here. So this is the voice of Lucille Allen, who studied nursing at Plymouth Hospital, right, where they were teaching black women to be nurses. She studied under Dr. Garland. 1976, a man named LeVere Stewart, and we couldn't find a pronunciation on him, so I hope I am doing that justice, interviews her as part of an oral history project. And she says that Dr. Garland took care of generations of her family when they got sick.
He was sincere, and he was the kind of a doctor that you don't find now. He was a doctor, and if he didn't know what was the matter with him, he would find out.
And she went on to actually reminisce a little bit about what the hospital looked like as well in that day.
It was a very small place. Mm-hmm. It was just a house. Mm-hmm. And that was the sad part about it. Mm-hmm. It was just a house of four floors. We at the time didn't have really the equipment.
And I want to thank Marta Crilly, who's at Boston City Archives, for her help with that. So two things here. One, Dan Reppert, your great-grandfather, was forming generations of healthcare workers who otherwise would not have been able to bring their talents to practice in Boston. Were you taught that kind of legacy of his as you were growing up? Is this the grandfather, great-grandfather you were taught about?
Absolutely. My brother's a physician and a surgeon in New York. My uncle Jimmy is a retired physician and hospital administrator. I have two nieces that are nurses. My own daughter's a nurse. Well, my nieces are training for nurses, and my other niece, Camille, is in medical school now in Massachusetts. So, no, not Massachusetts.
Oh, that's okay.
In
she's studying.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
She's studying medical school. But, yeah, and that legacy continued. It was also kind of a civil rights legacy because black doctors could not see their patients at the white hospital. And the Plymouth Hospital also provided a lot of free treatment, you know, for patients at no cost, as well as material aid. And so people were receiving and donating chickens. And if you read the reports, it was really very much a community service. Mm-hmm. And so it was part civil rights and advancement and part charity, just because they treated people of any color who needed help.
So I'm going to bring
medical help.
Excuse me for interrupting you. I'm going to bring you back, Lisa, because there's this other piece now, which is from the Plymouth Hospital, right? Now we wind up with a little bit of a battle between Dr. Cornelius Garland and William Trotter, who, and we did a great conversation with Professor Carrie Greenidge on William Trotter a couple of years ago. We'll link to it on our website at radioboston.org. But there was this meeting, disagreement between whether the hospital should grow, which is what Garland wanted, or should we push that such a kind of hospital should not even be necessary, and a hospital like then Boston City Hospital should be charged with expanding its inclusion. This is a little more of Lucille Allen, the nurse who trained at Plymouth Hospital.
Trotter fought the whole thing, and because Dr. Garland in 1925 was trying to get the now Jewish Memorial Hospital, and he could have gotten it. Because Jewish was, you know, they were building, of course, Beth Israel at that time.
So I'm so struck by, I mean, what we're she's talking about the emerging empire of medicine in Boston. But Trotter's approach wins, right? And so that's a key piece of history that emerges from here, too.
Yeah, that piece, I've dug into this as much as I could, and there's more to learn, but I never quite understood. So Garland wanted to expand in, you know, and Trotter opposed that. He didn't believe that another black-only hospital would help the black community. He obviously instead wanted to focus on desegregating the Boston City Hospital, the biggest in the city. But Garland, in the end, sort of came around to recognizing, or didn't even come around to, maybe all along, recognize the importance of that effort as well. So he actually lobbied alongside Trotter to get these two black nurses that Trotter had identified as wanting them to apply to become admitted to the training program at BCH. So he agreed in a way with Trotter's efforts. I'm sure that he was unhappy that his second hospital never came to be and that he closed the original. But that was something I could never uncover exactly, of course, you know, what he was thinking, what he was feeling. He went on to do very well. I mean, he continued his South End practice. He moved to Brookline. So I'd love to know what was going on in his mind at that time. I tried very hard to find headlines and articles from that time, but nothing really ever came to pass.
Should we put the call out to our listeners on
Please.
This if they know? All right, so if you know more about this history, if somewhere in your family history or your personal archives, et cetera, you've known more about Dr. Cornelius Garland. Excuse me, I joked a little bit there. Dr. Cornelius Garland or the Plymouth Hospital, at us at Radio Boston on Twitter or radioboston@gmail.com. You can email us as well. Dan, What's the one thing you want most for people to know about your great-grandfather?
I hadn't really thought about that. I would say his story is kind of the story for a lot of families and a lot of individuals. I would say to people, you might be surprised how connected you are to Black history. And I would also say that please, you know, visit the African American History Trail and remember that our connections are both wide and deep.
All right. Dan Ruppert is the great-grandson of Dr. Cornelius Garland, who founded Boston's first and only Black hospital. Lisa Gordon is a contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti page, where you wrote a story about discovering you lived in that hospital and unfolding that piece of Boston's hidden history. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too.